you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. You've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. We're continuing with our series, Shaping Your Future Self. Today and tomorrow, looking at habits that help you hold on during hard times. Today's message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church will refer to a message he gave a few weeks back, which I aired during Tuesday and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. But last week you heard from Dr. Derwin L. Gray, and for that matter, the prior Tuesday, Wednesday, where he talked about how God loves sinners like you and I, and how he graciously forgives our sins, and he's in the redemption business. He wants to free us from sin so we can worship him. But Pastor Rick will open up with talking about goals and setting goals over a 100-day period, asking, will the goal honor God? Is the goal motivated by love? And will the goal require depending on God? So that's how I'll begin today's message as we look at keeping your life clean, habits that'll help us hold on in hard times. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Now today, I want to share part of my series, Shaping Your Future Self. And in my previous message, I explained that in uncertain times, when you can't figure out what's really going on in life, God doesn't want you to just drift around with no plans at all. But instead, you just shorten your plans. You set short-term plans and short-term goals in faith, so you're believing and trusting that God will help you. And in the last message, I showed you how to set up a 100-day plan for your life. And I asked you to set two specific goals for your life, one a personal goal and one a ministry goal in helping other people. Now, if you missed that message, you can watch it online. But then when I asked you to do that, I also asked you to send me your 100-day plan goals, a personal goal and a ministry goal. And I promised to pray for you and for your goals. Well, as usual, you did exactly what I asked you to do, and your goals came in huge, huge numbers. In fact, between the staff and the member goals, I printed out over 300 pages of a prayer list for me to pray about. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your goals with me, and I will pray for you as I read through this prayer list. I'm so proud of you because it really reveals your faith that in the middle of tough times, hard times, difficult days, you're still stepping out in faith. But along with all the goals that you sent me, as I was reading them and praying over them, I received a number of notes that said something like this note. And it said this: Dear Pastor Rick, thank you for teaching us about how to set short-term goals in faith. Here are my two 100-day plan goals. But honestly, I had a very hard time in deciding on my 100-day plan goals because things are so rough in my life right now. And then she gave me a long list of incredibly tough circumstances she's facing right now. But she goes on to say this: I'm facing so many problems right now, all at once, that I've just had to take one day at a time, since I've been so easily overwhelmed. However, I've thought and I've prayed and I've decided in faith to set these two goals for my next 100 days, and I have a new sense of excitement just taking this step of faith. But I need your prayers through this hard time. When she said, I felt overwhelmed, my heart went out to her. And when I read this note and when I read a number of others that said the same thing. I knew that I needed to teach you the habits that help me hold on in hard times. The habits that help me hold on in hard times. And I'm going to teach this message in two parts. What I want to teach you this weekend, you just need to hear me on this, is not some theory or something I just thought up this week or studied in a book that hadn't been tested. In fact, this message that I'm going to share with you this week and next week is really more like a personal testimony. Like you, I've been through many rough times, many rough patches, hard times, and tough, difficult circumstances over the years. But you know, I've learned through experience and in trusting God's word to develop some habits that have helped me to keep on keeping on and on how to hold on in hard times and keep going until the circumstances change and get better. When you're going through hell, what do you want to do? Well, you keep going. You don't want to stay there, so you keep putting one foot in front of the other. What I'm going to share with you today and also next week, you need to write down. You may not need it right now, but you're going to need it someday because nobody escapes hard times. And these habits, which I have developed in my own life, have been so important and they're so essential to making it through the difficulties of life. I'm going to take 2 weeks to teach you these habits because I don't want to give them all to you at once. I want to give them to you in bite-sized pieces and let you practice them. Now, we'll look at some of them today and the rest of them I'll teach you next weekend. So get out your teaching notes right now. If you're watching online, you can download them. You can pause and download it. Get out a pen. Write these things down. One of the most repeated phrases in the New Testament is the phrase, keep on. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. Life is not a 50-yard dash, okay? It is a marathon, okay? It's long, and it's a marathon. And it requires endurance, and it requires persistence, and it requires faith, and it requires resilience. But there are some habits that you can learn that will make the rough patches in your life a lot more manageable and give you the ability to literally keep on keeping on when you feel like giving up. Now, I'll be honest with you, over 42 years as your pastor, there have been many, many rough times. And I was tempted by the devil to give up, but I didn't. Instead, each time I went back to these basic habits to keep me holding on through tough times. Following Christ is not a single step. It is a journey of faith. It's not just one step and that's all there is to it. It's a journey of faith that requires that you keep putting one foot in front of the other. Look at the first verse on your outline. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. You have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now, keep on following him. Circle the phrase, keep on. Keep on following him. As I told you, this phrase is all through the New Testament. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. How do you do that? You do it by learning the habits that help me hold on in hard times. And as I said, this is not some theory. These are the things, I'm doing these right now in my own life with this health issue that I'm going through. But these are things that you can do. These are habits you can develop. All right, let's write these down. Number one, the first habit that helps me hold on in hard times is this, keep my life clean. Keep my life clean. A clear conscience. You know, I saw a sign at a gas station one time. It said this, a clean engine has more power. And I thought, well, you know what? That's true of people too. A clean engine has more power. When you're going through life with a clear conscience, then you got a whole lot more power. Nothing drains you faster than guilt or regret or shame or hiding something that you feel bad about or guilty about. I'm a student of history. I have read hundreds, if not thousands, of books about Christian history, church history, great men and women of history. And when I read about all of the men and women of God that have made it through tough times in the past without caving in, and then I see that after they've gone through that refinement, there's a new assignment. There's always refinement before a new assignment. then they're used in even greater ways after they go through the tough time. Whenever I read that kind of stuff, I go, oh God, I want you to do that in my life. I want you to do that in my life. So I have studied their secrets. And the first step in keeping your life clean, keeping my life clean, the first step is always personal cleansing. God uses holy, clean people. Not perfect. There are no perfect people. So God wouldn't get anything done if he used perfect people, because there are none of us except Jesus. But without exception, anytime in history or today you find God using anybody, you will find that they have kept their life clean. That means they've dealt with personal sin in their life and they've gotten it cleansed. Not perfect, they're cleansed. Look at these verses. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil that God can use for his purpose. You know, it's a purpose-driven life. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use for every good work. It starts with keeping my life clean. It starts with confession and cleansing. Augustine, the great theologian, said, the confession of bad works is the beginning of good works. It's the starting point. You got to clean the dish before you put new food on it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says this in the Message translation, keep a clear conscience before God. Why? So that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. I love that. That's one of the benefits of having integrity. You've heard me say many times, I want to live my life such a way that people have to make up stuff about me to accuse me. And they will about you too. But the Bible says this in Romans 12, verse 9, hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. Now, what does that mean? Well, you certainly don't want to hold on to the garbage in your life. You don't want to get a big sack of garbage of guilt and regrets and shame and stuff you're afraid of other people finding out and carrying that all through life. That's unnecessary weight. Instead, you want to dump it. I remember marrying a couple in our church, and about 10 years later, we had them over for dinner, and the girl said, you know, as a new bride, it was a second marriage for both, she said, I had no idea that as I was walking down that aisle in that beautiful white dress, that I was also carrying a bag of garbage from my previous relationship with me into the new marriage. And she goes, that was dumb. It causes all kinds of... How do you dump the load of guilt or the load of regret or the load of shame? Or how do you dump the load of fear of being found out about something? Real simple. It's not rocket science. Through confession. The Bible talks about confessing our sins to God. The word confession in the Greek is the word homologeo. Homo means same. Homogenized milk. Homosexual. Homo means same. Logeo means to speak. It means to speak. Homologeo means to speak the same. It means to agree with God. It's to say, to confess, says, God, you're right. That was wrong. That's confession. God, you're right. That was wrong. I'm speaking the same about it. Now, the Bible says if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're going to make it through a hard time, the first thing you got to do is let go of unnecessary garbage you're carrying around. There is weight that you're carrying right now you should not be carrying. God doesn't want you walking around in guilt. God doesn't want you walking around in shame. God doesn't want you walking around carrying a load of regrets. No. He wants you to dump it on him, to let it go. That's the first step. It's the first habit. I keep my life clean. You can't go through hard times carrying unnecessary junk, garbage from your past. You got to let it go. You need to lighten your load when you're going through hard times. Now, I know what you're thinking, because you may think, Rick, I'm not sure I even remember or even know all the things that I feel unconsciously guilty about. Well, it's true. That's true. You may not remember. You may not know what is the unconscious guilt that's holding you down? You say, what do I do? It's real simple. You ask God to show you. You pray Psalm 139. Look at this next verse. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is a verse I encourage every follower of Jesus to memorize. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything you see in me that offends you. And the rest of the verse says, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a searchlight verse. You say, God, turn it on me. I don't even know all the stuff that I'm unconsciously regretting, that I'm unconsciously feeling ashamed of, that I'm unconsciously, I know the conscious stuff, but what about the unconscious stuff? Listen, God wants to bless your life. Are you hearing me? God wants to bless your life. God wants to use your life. No matter what's happened in the past, no matter what you've done, how long you've done it, who you did it with, doesn't matter. God wants to bless and use your life, but you got to deal with this issue. You got to let go of the garbage. You got to get your life cleaned up through confession and be washed clean. Now listen, God uses small vessels. God uses plain vessels. God even uses broken vessels. We're all broken. We're all a little cracked. But God will not use a dirty vessel. He wants to bless your life. And the one thing holding back blessing on your life, you know what it is? Unconfessed sin. There's junk in your life you need to just admit and get clean from it. When you're carrying garbage around in a garbage sack from your past, what do? You don't ignore it. You don't pretend it's not there. You don't repress it. You don't suppress it. You confess it. Okay? Don't repress, suppress, confess to God. Homologeo, I agree with you. God, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Friends, I love you guys. And I want to tell you this. In a hard time, there is nothing that's going to give you greater resilience and give you more personal power than a clear conscience, to have your life as an open book. If you want more power in your life, you've got to have more purity. Purity is the key to power in your life. So this is the first habit. I keep my life clean. You say, how do I do this, Rick? Here's what I want you to do. Here's the instructions for this week. Number one, get alone with God. Okay, I have done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of times. I get alone with God. I pull out a blank sheet of paper, and I get a pencil or pen, and I sit alone with God, and the first thing I do is I pray Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, any thing that offends you, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then I just start writing down whatever comes to mind. If it's jealousy, I write down jealousy. If it's lying, I write down lying. If it's lust, I write down lust. Whatever it is, if it is a failure to do something, a failure to not do something, whatever it is, I write it all down. And then once I just say, is there anything else? And I wait. And I'm not in a hurry. I don't just say, God, forgive all my sins. No. You committed those sins individually. You need to confess them individually. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. You point out, God, I cheated that person. God, I gossiped about that person. God, I was resentful of that person. I am bitter. I have been jealous. Whatever it is, you write it all down. And you pause and you wait and you say, is there anything else? Because you don't want any stuff, any garbage left in you. You want to be completely clean. And then once you've written it all down, you look at that list, and it'll probably make you want to throw up, but you look at the list and then you agree with God and you say, you're right, that was wrong. I'm sorry. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And then I want you to write 1 John 1:9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, across the paper, crumple it all up and burn it. Here's that verse again. Look on the screen. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's our part. That's the premise. Here's the promise. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What is standing between you and a clear conscience? Just your pride. That's the only thing. Just your pride. Now, when you do what I encourage you to do this week, get a piece of paper, sit down, make out a list, say, God, show me what's out of whack in my life. When you do this, you may feel some emotion, or you may feel nothing at all, no emotion at all. This has nothing to do with your emotions. It's simply a choice. It is a choice to take a spiritual bath. It's a choice to admit and forsake any known sin in my life, and you choose to do the right thing. You know, my guess is that some of you right now can relate to how David felt when he wrote in Psalm chapter 5, the fifth Psalm, verses 5 and 7 and verse 10. I love this. The message says this: God, I've been out of step with you for a long time. Some of you have been out of step with God since COVID started. I've been out of step with you for a long time. What you're after, Lord, is truth from the inside out. Scrub me, you know, scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. You know, clean me out, okay? God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. That's in the Bible. Isn't that great?
That is great, being in the Bible. That and so many verses that talk about our personal cleansing, keeping our lives clean and pure and free from all the worldly temptations that bombard us. I love that 1 John 1:9. I've probably said it thousands of times over the 50 plus years that I followed Jesus, but it's that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A great memory verse that I know I go to often, and maybe you'll memorize it yourself today. Well, tomorrow we'll pick up right where we left off here. As we continue this series, this is part 4 of Shaping Your Future Self, Habits That Help You Hold On in Hard Times, by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. And it seems like that recurring theme is keep on keeping on, today focusing on keeping your life clean. Now, tomorrow we'll look at how to keep your eyes open. Watch and be alert for signs from God's presence in your life, having that vision to carry on, to see God at work where you can take action. That'll be on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear it again or send it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.